Today is what does it mean to lay down your life? And you know, not everyone is called to be a martyr. A martyr is someone who dies for Jesus, but everyone is called as a Christian to lay down their life. But a lot of times we have these things we talk about, but people don't always know what that means. So I want to talk about that today. Everyone's called to lay down their life because in the kingdom of God, the path to victory is to lay aside your personal desire for the benefit of others. That's not the path you follow in the world, but that's the path in the kingdom of God. Instead of insisting on having what you want or receiving what you have earned or what you deserve, you make room for the needs of others. And that's what laying down your life is. If you lay aside what you want and you put your trust in God, then what will happen is He will exalt you above anything that you can imagine for yourself. In due season. In other words, in the time that God chooses. Because He knows exactly when to dump blessings on you that you can't contain. And so I just really want to clearly contrast how you find success in the world and versus how you find success in the kingdom of God. They're not the same. Say that you stand in a long line. Have you ever stood in a long line before? And you know, you've stood in the long line for a long time, and finally you get to the front of the line and it's your turn. And you're about to receive your reward. But instead, you decide to hold the door for those coming in behind you. Okay, that's what laying your life down is. Because a lot of people are all about Jesus, and we talk about laying down their life, but they don't always know what that means. And sometimes after they know what it means, they go, oh, well, no, I don't want that. And so I just want you to know what that is. It's giving up something that you've earned to help someone who hasn't earned it. You stood in line patiently, waiting your turn. So when your turn comes, you deserve the reward. Someone else shouldn't get to come along and cut in front of you. You earned the reward. It's your turn. You can take it. There's no harm in that. That is what success in the world is. You know, if you get your due in the world, that's success. You know, if you get what you have coming to you in the world, that's success. But if you take, here's the problem, if you take what you have coming, if you take what is rightfully yours, that's it. You worked and you received your rightful reward, the transaction is over. Success. The matter is closed. Nothing wrong with that. The only problem with that kind of exchange is it doesn't leave room for God's reward. If you pray on a street corner to be seen and people see you, well, you got the reward you sought. End of story. If you give to be seen by others, and others see you, you received your reward that you sought. That's the end of it. End of story. If you work for 40 hours and you receive your reward, you know, if you get paid the agreed upon wage that you went to work for, that's the end of the story. That's success in the world. What so often we get frustrated is we don't receive the rewards that we've worked for or that we have earned. Or that belong to us. And so we consider that to be unsuccessful in the world. But if you set aside your reward, a form of laying down your life, and you give up your reward to those behind you, then you see that leaves the door open for God to reward you. And so that's why when we are cheated or stolen from or feel beat down or like we haven't received what we deserve, those kinds of things, that's why we can give that to the Lord and just open the door for Him to reward us. That opens the door for rewards to come down from heaven. And so that's what defines success in the kingdom of God. It's opening a door from heaven in which God or rewards come down from heaven. If you not only work the 40 hours, but you work as unto the Lord, have you heard that we're supposed to do that? Not just giving respect to your boss that he deserves. He may not deserve much, but giving him respect as if you're working for the Lord. You're going over and beyond. You're going beyond what's required. Then you leave open the door for rewards to come down from heaven. And so often we are in a mindset where we're simply looking for our due in the world. And a lot of us are frustrated sometimes when we're not getting, when that's not happening. You know, my wife is supposed to be giving me more respect. My husband's supposed to be giving me more time. My whatever it is, you fill in the blank. Work no more than required. Take your pay. Take what you deserve. There's no wrong in that. That's not wrong. You're not, if you earned it, it's not a sin to take it. But then that's it. You just need to know what's going to happen, what's going on. There's another downside to taking your immediate pay from this world, though. You don't only lose any rewards that could come from heaven by setting aside your reward, but in the world there is a thief that can steal your earthly reward. You could be leaving with your prize that you waited for in line, only to get robbed on the way out. Someone could shove you aside before you're able to receive the reward in the first place. But even if you can get your reward, you can't keep it. Decay will spoil it. It will rust and it will rot. And so that's the downside to receiving what you deserve in this life. Is if you're receiving what you deserve, you've cut off any reward from heaven because you've already been paid. And then what you have received is going to rot and it's not going to really be what you wanted anyway. It's not wrong, though, to take the reward that you've earned. So you don't need to feel guilty for that. It's not wrong to want a reward that you worked for. You know, it's not wrong to want a husband to be the husband that he's supposed to. It's not wrong to want your wife to be the wife she's supposed to. But it isn't, you know, just getting the rewards that you've worked for, it isn't a very good reward. Because the thief will steal it. He will diminish it. You won't receive a reward from heaven. But other than that, I mean, go ahead and take your reward if that's what you want. Jesus showed us a better way. You work as hard and as faithfully as you can to earn the prize. But then you lay it aside, so that you can receive a reward from heaven. And that's the great advantage of earning the prize, of earning the reward. So then you have something to lay aside to open the doors. So you can receive a reward from heaven, a reward that never runs out. It's always more than you can imagine. It cannot be stolen by the thief. It never rots or rusts. And that is why Jesus says that if a man takes your shirt, you should also give him your coat. You're only giving up something that's going to rot anyway. And in exchange, you're going to receive this reward from heaven. That's eternal. So of course, though, before you would do something like that, you'd have to trust Jesus. You need to believe that there is a reward that comes from heaven. One that's better than the one that you're giving up. You'd have to be convinced of that. You would need faith, wouldn't you? So I just wanted you to know what laying down your life is. That's a choice you get to make. But we need to understand. Go with me to 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Jesus may have been born in a manger, but no one deserves the best that this world has to offer over him. He performed flawlessly. You may perform well, but you haven't performed flawlessly. He was at the front of the line for everything. Respect, honor, position, wealth. He earned them all. But he set them aside for you. Some people like to make the point that Jesus was rich. And I'm going to tell you something. He was rich. But he laid it aside. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. And a lot of people like to focus on that Jesus was rich, but he became poor so that we could be rich. And so, you know, riches belong to us. That's one of our promises. That's one of our blessings. Amen. If Jesus had been at the back of the line, he couldn't have stepped aside to hold the door open for you. If Jesus hadn't become rich, he wouldn't have been able to lay it aside for you. Jesus laid down everything, and he did it for you so that you could have all the prizes that he deserves. And a lot of people emphasize the gain that you receive from Jesus, but they don't always know why. Why did Jesus want to lay down his wealth so that you could have it? Why did he lay aside his respect, his honor, all the things that belonged to him? Why did he lay those down so that you could possess those things? Why did Jesus do that? Why did he want you to prosper? Was it so that you could keep it and enjoy life while others suffer? Why does Jesus want you to have prosperity? He wants you to have it for the same reason that he got it. He wants you to have it so that you can lay it down like he did. If you don't have it, you can't lay it down. If you don't have any advantage, you don't have anything to lay down. Jesus wants you to prosper. He doesn't want you to, but he doesn't want worldly wealth to be the end of your story. He doesn't want you just to get what you deserved. If you have worldly wealth, then you have your reward. And the thief is going to come and he's going to work against you to steal it. But if you lay it down like Jesus did, you'll receive a reward like Jesus did. And that's the difference between prosperity in the world and prosperity in the kingdom of God. He wants you to receive the kinds of blessings that he received. Blessings that don't wear out. Blessings that are true. Blessings that are eternal. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 9. And he wanted you to be blessed so that you had the ability to, in the world, so that you had the ability to lay those things down to receive the blessings that come from heaven. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 9. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name. So he gave up everything that was of a worldly advantage, but he received a heavenly advantage. He received a name that's above every name. Do you think that you can receive any kind of prosperity in this world, any kind of advantage, any kind of pay, any kind of due that belongs to you that's above having a name that's above every name? I'm going to tell you something. The prizes that come from heaven far outweigh the prizes of this world. And there is nothing wrong with the prizes in this world, but when we think that they are more advantageous to us than the prizes that come out of heaven, we are messed up. And the fact that we are so tied to them that we can't lay them aside to receive the prize that comes from heaven shows that we're messed up. Jesus was God. He was the King of Kings. But he set that all aside. Even as a man, he set aside the rewards that he deserved as a man. Everything that was to his benefit, he gave them up for the people behind him, for you, because he wanted to receive something better. His reward came from heaven. How many of you, and I'm talking to myself, I hope you know that, when you do things the way that you're supposed to, even if it's on that rare occasion, you show up when you're supposed to, you know, you punch the clock, you don't abuse your brakes very much. You know, you're working to the best of your ability, and you're doing that with, you know, my question is, are you doing that with the intention of setting aside your reward as soon as you get it? Sometimes you do it worried about whether or not you're going to get your reward. But do you do it with the intention? Is that your intention when you set out so that you have something to set aside? Are you trying to win a prize so that you can lay it down? When you're working hard to be a good spouse, is that what you're up to? You're trying to gain something that you can lay down? You're trying to earn a reward that you can give away? Probably not. I mean, I have a long way to go with this. I'll just tell you that right now, but we're not going to talk about that. If you're serious about receiving a reward from heaven, see, you may be considering giving up 10% of your reward. And that's what's wrong with teaching tithing. It says you don't give up 10% in the new gospel. You give up 100%. You may give 10% to the church, but you're only a steward over the other 90% that's left. And that's how we're supposed to be. We will not all be martyrs. We're not all going to carry the same amount of weight. We're not all going to have to lay down the same prize. Some do more heavy lifting than others, while some carry a lighter load. But all of us are called to be to the willingness to lay down our lives. John chapter 4, verse 38. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. You know, when a person carries around a banner of what they're owed, instead of a desire to lay their benefits aside, you know, when it's always about what I haven't got that I deserve, they fool themselves over the extent of their loss. Maybe they're not getting their wages. And as I said, even if they're getting what they're due, the devil's stealing from them. Maybe they're not getting their due, but they are getting far more than those who have done the heavy lifting. And if they think that they've done heavy lifting, it's because they don't know how heavy wrestling with the devil can be. Jesus did the heaviest lifting. The early apostles did some heavy lifting. Paul did some heavy lifting. There's a list of those who have lifted heavy that goes on and on. We are the beneficiaries of the heavy lifting that all of those people before us have done, who lifted far more than we've ever been asked to lift. We are the beneficiaries of the lives that they laid down. What we give up is not much in comparison. There's a lot of folks who stood in line long before we were born. Naturally speaking, you know, we should be able to understand this. I mean, those who first traveled the seas to America, they did some of the hardest work, didn't they? The death rate was atrocious. The people who fought in World War II, I mean, they did some hard work. I missed all the wars. I was just born in a pocket, and I don't know what it's like to be shot at or have bombs going off around me or to be under threat like that. We get the Word of God fed to us each week in a room that's a little too warm or a little too cool with a cafe attached that we can get some coffee from or before or after church. The hardest part of coming here is getting out of the car in the parking lot and making it across the parking lot to get inside in that cold out there. That is hard. Some days, harder than others. I don't know why our lives have to be so tough. Some people are called to do more of the lifting, though. And, you know, if you're one of those people, that's, you know, you need to embrace that. God gave you a stronger back, then lift more. I always tell wives, your men are the mules. Make them do the lifting. Don't let that don't let that mule sitting in there being lazy while he's making you carry everything. He's made to carry burdens. He's not going to be happy about it. He'll probably cry and bawl, but he's made for it. Make him carry it. If he's not strong enough today, he'll get stronger. But don't be a fool and carry it for him. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding around. Not really, but no, but everybody, it's different. I mean, every situation is different. Sometimes, you know, whatever your strengths are, you know, that's where you have to lift. I wouldn't want to say that a mother or a woman doesn't have to lift heavy, because they just lift kind of a different kind of thing. But anyway, some people are called to do more of the lifting, but each of us is called to lay down our lives. No one should be satisfied with the prize that comes from this world. No one should work to receive the prize of this world and just have their hearts fastened on that. That's what they want. If all you want is the due, is your due in this world, you're just going to have a miserable existence. Because like I say, even if you get it, the devil's going to work against it to steal it and to make it rust and to devalue it and frustrate you and all of those kinds of things. You're an eternal creature. There's just nothing in this world that is made for you. The kind of rewards that you deserve as a child of the King are things that come out of heaven, things that you will carry with you forever into eternity. But if you're working so that you have something to lay down, I mean, that's just a whole different story. That'll give you a whole different perspective on your life. That's why Paul and Silas could sing songs to the Lord after being beaten and thrown into that lower dungeon. The thief took their shirt and they gave him a coat, a song to Jesus. Laying down your life is something that you should do every day. It isn't for me to say how you do that. Jesus doesn't even command you to do it. If you want to have an earthly prize and insist on instead of one from heaven, you're entitled to that. There's no foul in that. But the door to heaven is not opening for you if you choose that. How much treasure from heaven do you want? You choose that every day by the way that you live your life. And some days I think I don't want much treasure from heaven. You know, I have to reevaluate, you know, where my motives, where my heart is. Now, Doug, there's nothing wrong. You want this? You can have that if you want it, but you know, there's trade-offs. whether you're working for yourself or whether you hold the door open for someone else, that's a choice you get to make. And how many people you open to hold the door open for before you decide to step through yourself, that's a choice you get to make. But I just want you to know that it's the choice that we make to lay aside our benefits, to lay down our lives, that's the choice that opens the door for blessings to come from heaven. Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." There was a young rich man, and he came to Jesus looking for more of God. And Jesus told him how to find God. You want more of God? Lay down your life. Lay down your worldly treasures and seek heavenly treasures. That's all there is to it. It says Jesus loved this man, young man. He invited this young man to personally follow him, to be one of his disciples. But the young man couldn't because he wanted his earthly prize. But more than that, here's what I wanted you to see in this. I want you to see that Jesus told the man to give his wealth to the poor, not to him. Why didn't Jesus tell the rich man to put his money into his own ministry, into his, you know, to the ministry of Jesus? And the reason is because it didn't really make a difference, because Jesus already knew that if the man gave his wealth to him, he was going to lay it down anyway. So the man just will be the one that lay it down and get the benefit. Some of the nicest people have come here and have left. And almost always, not always, I mean, there have actually been a few people who have left, you know, the way they should. But almost always, almost always it's because there's some hang up over money at the root of it. They may point at me or someone else in the church, but the bottom line is, like this young man, they don't want to lay down any of their benefits for you. They like to receive your benefits, the benefits that you provide. And we should provide them. But here's the deal. You see, that only works for so long. You know, because if they don't start to love back at some point, if they don't grow and mature, if they're always just looking for something from the world that comes from your hand for them, and they never make that transition to give themselves for you, to love you, the devil will get a hook in their jaw, he will get a hook in their thinking, and he will jerk them right out. And it isn't like they're not given a chance. But like this young man, they couldn't lay down their lives for you. And again, that only works for so long. What do you think happened to that young rich man? Do you think that he found another way that worked out for him? Do you think he left and lived happy ever after? I like to think that after a season of regrets that he came back to Jesus. You know, I love the fact that we get to live under grace, and no matter how fouled up we are, how selfish we are, all those things, you know, we're just under grace. He just loves us. He doesn't get mad. He'll give us another week, another year, another decade. He'll give us whatever it takes. The only downside to that is, you know, we're not getting those windows of heaven opened to us very soon. But you know, there's always that opportunity. How many of you are bullheaded, hard learners? Don't raise your hand to me, because that's been my story. See, the thing about it, Jesus wasn't mad at him, and he's not mad at anyone here. He's not mad at anyone who's ever gone or left. Jesus isn't mad at people who will not lay down their lives. But if people will not lay them down, if they won't lay their lives down for each other, the door to heaven is shut. And eventually, that's going to extract a price. And it doesn't have to, I talk about us and people in the church relationship, but this applies to our marriages, to work. It doesn't matter where we're at. The pattern Jesus sets down is the most excellent way. You're not asked to carry more weight than you are able. There's not a chart that says how much weight you must carry, what your path will be, how much you'll have to give up for the people around you. There's no chart that dictates that. But if there is not love in your heart for your brothers and sisters in Christ, there's not a path to the prizes that flow from heaven. And so I just want you to always understand that receiving prizes from heaven always involves laying down your life. Laying down a benefit that Jesus bought for you in order to pass it to someone who's less deserving. You don't lose what you give up. You don't lose when you give up your place to hold the door open for someone else. You win. It's just a different kind of victory. You gain wealth that can't be taken. You gain joy that comes from heaven. The harvest, you harvest confidence from walking with Jesus. You know, it's nice to not have to fall apart like a cheap $2 suitcase or whatever. Someone, Brother Preacher, says that all the time. Every time the smallest little thing doesn't go right in your life. You overcome by sharing in the sufferings of Christ. Jesus has already done the heavy lifting for us. It's just whether we're willing to pass on the prizes that have been made available. He's made it easy for us. You know, we of all generations should be most willing and able to lay down our lives. How hard is it to give up the remote control to the TV to your spouse? Well, I tell you, it's hard. Now, if you can get yourself to trust Jesus and desire the prize that He gives instead of the prize found in the world, you know, to rejoice over the opportunity that you had to lay aside the benefit that you deserved, you know, if you would have just saw that in the right light, to make a sacrifice for that, you know, you, instead of being depressed and broken down, you'd have a skip in your step. Maybe no one else sees the prize. Maybe no one else sees your wealth. Nobody else is clapping their hands and telling you what a wonderful person you are. But Jesus is in heaven and He's clapping His hands. And He's the one that's going to provide the prize that will set your feet to dancing. You will be an overcomer, and you will receive benefits beyond the things that you can imagine. But it starts with practicing this idea of laying down our lives. And it does not feel good to the flesh. And to the flesh, it's a very scary thing to think that you might miss out on something that this world has to offer. But if you will learn to do that with consistency, I'm still working on it, you'll be so much better off, so much happier, always winning instead of losing. God bless you. I love you. I hope you're benefited from this. And, you know, God just wants you to have a wonderful life. And we're just trying to share to you with you how to get to that place. Praise God. Do you love Jesus? Hallelujah. Well, we can start right now as an act of our faith by giving up some of our time and our body, whatever, we can stand up and we can just praise the Lord. And you don't have to stand up. But whatever level of praise you're going to do, just give Jesus a little more from inside you than what you normally would. Set your mind on Him a little more. Be a little more thankful than what you feel like. And that's laying aside your life. Praise God.